It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care. Or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
What is going on? What's up? What's up? Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's your host, Darren Green, host of the Darren Green Show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you guys doing? I don't have much of a weekend report or a week report or whatever you want to call it, child. We're going to get right into the topics today because I don't really have nothing else to say other than, you know, you made in the world when you get some death threats. Oh, girl. Yes. Oh, my goodness. No, I'm telling you right now, people are still in my comments talking about the DL Whisper situation. Okay, that man done went to jail. Okay, he done got charged. Can't talk about TS or Dominique Morgan for a year. Okay, he lost fair and square. Y'all still in my comments dragging me. This person, I'm going back and forth with this older gay. Okay, I'm going back and forth with this unk. He gonna get mad because I call him unk. And he gonna be like, well, I am an uncle, and I hope your nieces and nephews don't disappear. Sir, did the DL Whisper not teach you anything that you can't make blanket thrusts like that? Girl, I was like, oh my goodness, go ahead and block yourself. But see, I was on Facebook because, you know, I'm posting stuff on Facebook and stuff like that. So a lot of those bird brain people, they live on Facebook. You get what I'm saying? And really, the DL Whisper really has turned y'all into demons. His demonic aura has rubbed off on him and has placed it on all of y'all that support him. Y'all, you threatening people because of a disagreement about what we feel about some person that you don't know. I don't know. I'm talking about it because, honey, I get paid for this shit. I'm a content creator. I'm a pop culture pundit. Okay, we talking about it. You get what I'm saying? I don't think about this in my real life when the cameras are off. But you do. And you need to heal. You need to cope. So yeah, I was like, girl, not death threat. I mean, I don't even have nieces and nephews, child. I'm the only child. You get what I'm saying? But it's just a thought. Like, goodness gracious. You could be that blunt in the damn comments. I said, oh. I said, child, y'all are too crazy right now. But anyway, other than that, let's get into the situation. Before we get into the situations, be sure to leave your thoughts in the comments. Also, smash that like button. If you're not already subscribed to the channel by now, girl, what's going on? Subscribe to that goddamn channel. And also for the audio listeners, hey, be sure to leave a rate and review. We love those. We want to stay in the good graces of the algorithms over there in the audio podcasting land. I know for the Apple Podcast listeners, I'm not sure if you got the announcement, but they are testing, or they're going to be slow rolling the video aspect of podcasting over in Apple Podcast. So you may be able to see my face one day, child, because I know I've been on that dang app for so long, and I know some of y'all have been listening since the beginning, child. I mean, y'all see my face because y'all see the cover art, But, you know, seeing me in video, like, it's just, you know, that seems very one-on-one, you know, and stuff like that. So I can't wait for them to start. This is supposed to start sometime in the spring. They want to try it out. I'm not sure if my distribution company is applicable to it, but we'll see, Jared. We'll see. But anyway, like I said, we have a lot of topics to get into. It's a lot of hot on the press topics, okay? Because I did want to talk about Solange's son, you know, Beyonce nephew child, because he stirred some conversation. Gay Magazine was definitely dragging him. And that's actually going to be our first topic because I have a lot to say about that. If we're going to get into it. Also hot on the press, Swiss Beats baby mom was coming for Swiss Beats and Alicia Keys, saying that they got their daughter addicted to narcotics. Okay. Controlled substances. Okay. Cause we got to keep it real PG here on YouTube. So yeah, we're going to talk about that. Jamal Bryant, I guess, apologizes because of that Target boycott conclusion that he tried to do. I'm like, sir, no. Like, I didn't actually see his apology, so we're gonna watch it for the first I'm gonna watch it for the first time with y'all. Tyler Perry, you know, cashes out his BET Plus stake as Paramount consolidates the streaming platform. Jack Harlow says that he got blacker while making an R&B album. Labyrinth also says F Columbia and F Euphoria. I don't know who made him mad. Okay, they're canceling shows left and right. Jaguar Wright also is starting a GoFundMe. Didn't you drag Tasha K for doing that? Anyway, we'll talk about all this and more coming up on. Now, this is the Darren Green Show. Okay, now I wanted to start with the whole Jules and this LGBTQ nightclub event thing that he was doing and things in that nature. So apparently Jules Smith, that's a Solange's son, and, you know, Beyonce, as we know, is Beyonce's nephew. He's a model now, and he does a lot of things. He's a working man. Okay. He's definitely carved his own path into the modeling industry, and kudos to him and stuff like that. Cause I know he had a really problematic start. That whole situation with Sky Jackson and them, that was some weird shit going on, but, you know, he was able to pivot and do what he does. He took the payment to host at an LGBTQ club. This club is called Opium. It's in Atlanta. He was slated to, you know, host it and, you know, hang out with the gays and stuff. And and he was slated to do this interview live with Gay Magazine. Shout out to them. I love them. I love Gay Magazine. You know, I'm mutuals with one of the creators. You know, let me get a spot interview, child. Let me get like a little, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, what's going on? But the problem is, child, when he got there, and I knew something like this was going to happen, right? When he got there, it was very much, he was nonchalant. He was hugging the wall. He had mad people in his entourage. You couldn't even get around him. He made sure he had some baddies next to him as well to make sure. Let me tell you something, I ain't with that gay shit. You get what I'm saying? Like, he definitely did not seem that he wanted to be there. He just there to collect the check. Okay. He was there to collect the check and go home. Right. And see Gay Magazine. Now, see, I noticed when they made the first initial post, they put, oh yeah, Jules Smith hosted with the quote sign, this event, this, that, and the third, da, 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 da. So they make a series of tweets. Talk about Gay Magazine. They say, no more fake allies. Collecting a check is not allyship. Booking an LGBT event without acknowledging them as your fans is not allyship. Being quiet about your support for us when it gets challenging for you is not allyship. Okay. Now they explain. They said, thanks to all the gays who tuned into our TikTok live last night. As seen during the live, Jules declined to participate in an interview. To clarify, Gay Magazine did not book Jules for the appearance. That's definitely something to pay attention to. We brought it in solely to help promote the event and to interview him.
It also was important to note that Jules' interview had been scheduled in advance, and both Jules and his rep were sent questions, which were reviewed and approved beforehand. Now, the last minute before arriving, we were notified not to ask Jules the following question: what inspired you to host an LGBTQ event? And is this something that you see yourself continuing in the future, possibly during Pride? And then you can see in the video that I'll probably have shared in posts, a guy from Gay Magazine walked up and said, hey, were you still going to do a spot interview before you left? He said, I'm not doing no interview. And the way, let me tell you something. When you see this video, the way Jules looked up and down as if like, I ain't doing no interview.
How you doing, my brother? Good. Nice to meet you. Hey, my brother. So we were going to get your interview outside when you leave. That's cool? You're not doing one? Oh, they missed you. Okay, cool. You say you're not doing an interview.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, Walt. He, if and see, when you look at the video too, he tried to give him a handshake. Dude, Jules is like, I'm not touching you. I don't know. I ain't touching you. Like, it did on his phone, just like as he's trying to ask him stuff, like, hey, do you want to do the interview? I'm not doing the interview. Like, clearly did not want to be here. And you know they calling him Jules the scammer child, because you know he looked like Joanne the scammer. Remember Joanne the scammer? And like I said, you could peep the baddies in his entourage. You know, you could peep the other straight dudes in the entourage, you know, trying to dap him up, trying to, you know, make sure everything looking. Here's my thing, right? This is a telltale. Y'all do this shit every time. Y'all do this shit every time, and y'all get freaking, y'all don't get y'all return on investment. Either they don't show up, or they show up like this, hugging the wall, not interacting, not doing anything, not trying to, you know, get down with the get down, this, that, and third. I'll say the only person that really, I will say Italy Choppa, when he hosted like a gay club too before. And he was like kind of interactive. I mean, he still had, you know, he had the baddies around. He knew the baddies always going to be around. But he was kind of interactive and kind of engaged, and he wasn't hugging the wall. I remember that he wasn't hugging the wall, but you know, it's the bare minimum. But you know, at least he was doing something. Jules just was just sitting there, just like, I'm just here so I get my check. He probably got a check, like a down payment, and he ready for the next, you know, I don't get club culture. I had my day when I went clubbing. I never cared to go to a club when there's going to be like a big celebrity there, because they're not going to be doing nothing. We're there to just watch. It's like we're watching a freaking fish in a fishbowl. You get what I'm saying? Oh my God. Like, oh my goodness. Oh my God. And they just standing there looking down at you. And like, I'm going to the club, the club. Like, I don't want to be in no club with no famous people. That's it. And I think that's because I play Sims too much. Every time I take my Sim to the club, the celebrities want to show up, and then it becomes like this whole big thing. I'm like, bitch, get out of there. Get going, because everybody's flocking to you, and then the energy is off. And now anybody trying to have a good time, they just want to get their little moment and get their little. It's just weird. Maybe I'm just not into clubbing like that, or I'm not in that club scene, but it just, to me, not my thing. But this is a telltale for club promoters, because I want to get on track, Chad. I don't want to get off on no tangent. You can't have everybody at your events. Stop inviting people that do not want to be there. Stop inviting people that don't want to be there. Stop. I'm going to say this very bluntly. Stop inviting straight men. Stop inviting straight men to these gay ass clubs, because they know they don't want to be there. They know they're going to be queer baiting. They know, or just like, you know, just like Jules, just here to collect the check. Stop having these straight men come to these events, because they don't want to be there. You know, that man had no interaction with anybody. You know, and just because his auntie rolls with the Rainbow Coalition don't mean that her nephew do. Like, y'all thought, oh, because Beyonce's down for the gays. You know, the whole family is known. No, that don't mean that. That don't mean that. No, what y'all expect? What did y'all expect? This man never showed any signs of any type of allyship. Maybe he had some gay friends, because that's what I'm hearing. that he has some, but he's a model. He's a model. Yes. There's a lot of those there. There's a lot of those. You get what I'm saying in the modeling world. So I wouldn't put it past them, but I have friends that will probably never go to Pride, you know, and I don't want them to, if they don't want to go. You get what I'm saying? If that's not what they want to do. Now, it could be a little problematic that I'm still friends with these people, but you can't really choose who you be friends with, child, who you connect with and stuff like that. But yes, I do have friends that will strictly tell me, like, I do not want to go to these types of events. Fine, cool beans, you know, cool niece. You get what I'm saying? But why make people go if you know they or don't really know what their stance is on things? Because things like this will happen. He'll sit there and just be like, well, you know, I'm just here to collect a check and I'm going home. Like, he literally looked like you can tell when somebody does not want to be there. Like, you could just tell he was looking at his phone. He wasn't even looking at people. Now, would I chop it up to like social awkwardness? The man is young. I think he's like 21, right? I mean, he could have been a little bit socially awkward. I mean, it could have been a situation where, you know, people started finding out that he was doing this event. Maybe his friends was clowning him or whatever. Maybe he saw the comments and was like, I don't know. Like, I think I'm just had to make it look, you know, like I don't want to be here. So, you know, you get what I'm saying? You know how straight men get, child. You know how straight men get, child. It's all about the optics and, you know, preserving that good old masculinity that, you know, they like to hold dearly to their hearts and stuff like that. I'm just like, at this point, I will have a little bit of empathy, just a little ounce. I think it really had to do with, because let's be very clear. When I started, he didn't promote this at all. I mean, he made like one post. I was like, oh my goodness. Cause at first I didn't know it was real, right? All the promoters and stuff like that, you know, they did their thing. They did their post. And he did not make a post until like the last minute, child. Until the last minute. And then that's when I was like, oh, like, I think I seen that the Neighborhood Talk posted about it and then it got deleted. So I'm like, oh, maybe it got canceled because, you know, he probably backed out. But no, he made a post and he was still going. And then I saw that Gay Magazine, you know, was doing that. My thing is this. Now, people saying, oh, well, people was coming for Gay Magazine. But my whole thing is this. They were slated to promote the event. And I'm pretty sure, I think this has all to do with the club that booked him. Let's be very clear, because Gay Magazine made it very clear we did not book him. We were essentially hired to promote the event. Okay. And I'm pretty sure they were probably told that you will get an interview spot, because that's, you know, that's something that is good for the brand. You know, we spoke to Jules Smith. Jules Smith is an up and coming model. This and the third, he's Beyonce nephew. He's an old. You get what I'm saying? So I think that they were slated to interview him. And then when it didn't happen, it's just like, well, what the hell were we doing here for? What, I mean, we did all this promoting. We was out here talking to the people doing this event. And you don't even want to do a spot interview. Now, I understand how his rep probably told him last minute, like, yeah, I don't really want to answer that question. I mean, it is kind of weird. I mean, it's not like it was going to be a full-fledged interview. It was like one of those little spot interviews where people got the little mic. You know, people asking the questions. And you do, like, you know, it's simple stuff like that. It wasn't going to be like nothing crazy. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that, because I feel like a lot of people on Twitter are coming for Gay Magazine. And I'm just like, because they have every right. I feel like they have every right to feel a way, because they were probably promised an interview that never happened. And they probably got, you know, the club probably got into their head saying, yeah, he's going to come and he's going to be very interactive. And this and the third, this is a telltale. And I'm going to say this. I said this before and I'm going to say this again. This should, because I don't know how things are going to play out this year with Pride, but this should set a precedent of how a lot of these little gay events for Pride should be. Stop inviting these straight men. Start inviting these gay socialites. There's a lot of gay socialites that are out and proud and interactive. They're not going to hug the wall. You get what I'm saying? Like, we want to see our people hosting these events. I remember a couple years back, y'all invited Kaya. Kaya? I mean, next time, y'all might as well invite freaking Tasha Kay. Candace Owens. You get what I'm saying? You might as well invite them next time. I mean, if you got, really? Y'all, it just, it doesn't make any sense. I know y'all want to draw people in. People are going to show up to these clubs because it's Pride and they want to have a good time after they did that damn parade. People are going to show up regardless. Stop having these people come in here. They infiltrate. This is supposed to, first of all, these clubs are meant for us, or were created by us, for the purpose of being a safe space. I know if I was there, I see his entourage and, you know, he looking down and they looking down on us and they just, I mean, I'm pretty sure there was some men in there looking at us, looking at him in disgust. Okay, talking about some, what the hell we doing here? He probably left early too. I would not be comfortable. I would not be comfortable in a gay bar. That doesn't, what sense does that make? Makes no sense. Y'all got to stop doing that, you know, but hopefully this will be a lesson for y'all. These promoters, these bars, these freaking clubs that want to sit there and invite everybody, child. At this day and age, with a lot that's going on in this country, we need to just only put us on. Okay, everybody figure out, everybody, look, and I hate if I sound, you know, like a separatist or segregation, but the straights got to play with the straights. Gays got to play with the gays. If you're a straight woman and you get down with the Rainbow Coalition, I ain't talking about you, sis. Come on in. Just leave your man at home. But straight men, let them go to their little pubs and bars and things in that nature, child, and we have our thing. What's up with what is wrong with segregation? I think segregation is not that bad. You know, I don't think it's that bad. You know, I think that it would relieve, like, if people had their own space, just like I said, when it came to barbers, yeah, there's a lot of, I hate going to a barbershop where there's a lot of like misogyny going around, a little bit of homophobia mixed around in there. But like, that's their safe space. That's their space where they can talk unfiltered. They probably don't get that opportunity nowadays in this PC world. Fine. Y'all go ahead and have it. You get what I'm saying? I think everybody just need their space, you know, and we will all have a better day. Okay. But anyway, y'all would tell me what y'all think about that in the comments, child. We can move on because there is another topic that I wanted to get into, child. Oh, wow. We're 20 minutes in, honey. I had a lot to say. Now, the mother of Swiss Beats' daughter claims that their child is addicted to controlled substances while in his and Alicia Keys' care, accusing them of allowing her daughter to vape and eat certain things. Okay, instead of focusing on her education. Now, this mother made a post. She said, Nicole just crossed the line. She just hit me. In the name of Alicia Keys and Swiss Beats, who have been alienating her from me. She also made a text on the post saying, do you think it's okay to hit your mother in the name of money, fame, and controlled substance? She says she hates me, my mom, my friends. Nicole got addicted to narcotics and vapes for a while in their care. This is why she is acting like this. It's not normal teenage stuff. I'm trying to save her from further destruction. I've spoken to her dad so many times about it. They ignore everything. If you have to go public to save your child from narcotics, you should, instead of your child spiraling out of control and publicly dying from an OD in the bathtub like Whitney Houston's daughter, child. Now she brought up Whitney Houston's daughter, child. So here's the thing. It seemed like, okay, so she's doing like the stuff, like the stuff that you eat, the plant. Okay. Is this girl in high school? I think the girl is in high school. I'm not saying it's right. Okay. I think she made more posts, child. She said, why is there no blend? Because they do everything the opposite way. I say no vapes and narcotics. They make them available. Alicia uses them herself. Her brother got her hooked on vapes. I say detox from social media, detox from the phone. They give her the fourth secret phone. Oh, see that be happening. That be happening with the blended families, with the split parent household, and you know, one is over there, one is over there. One girl, that be happening. I say study. They take her to parties and yachts, and she doesn't study. So they're dealing with some real. Oh, she also got some videos too. Oh, child, these belong to Alicia Keys in her house. Oh, wow, she going through her stuff. Yeah, she got that joint, child. Oh my God, that's the girl. That's the daughter. Oh my God. See, I'm over here looking on Instagram, child. Yeah, I mean, it's two different parenting styles. It does seem like Alicia Keys and Swiss Beats are a little open with how they are dealing with this child. I wouldn't put it past the both of them that they are enabling this child into narcotics. I mean, it does look like the child is in high school, and I hate to say this, but you know, that stuff is being done in those times. Now, see, I don't know if this is the baby mom that Alicia Keys stole from Swiss Beats. Y'all tell me in the comments, child, if this is the baby mother that Alicia Keys stole, you know, because that was a whole big thing back in the day, child, that she was, I think Swiss Beats was either married or, yeah, I think they were married. And then like Alicia Keys came into the play. And then, I mean, the girl was a fan of Alicia Keys too. And that was just, imagine your fave taking your man. Like, I mean, that's not funny, but like, yeah, that was a big topic back in the day, child. That was before I started when I was a child. But yeah, I mean, like I said, that stuff is happening in school, whether they're enabling it or not. I mean, I would hope that Swiss and Alicia is telling that girl, look, let me tell you something. Get your feel goods, but just make sure it stays here. Like, it doesn't go to the, you know, the gateway narcotics. You get what I'm saying? I mean, but nevertheless, I mean, if the girl is underage, she's underage. I think that you should take this to take them to the courts. And see what happens. I know that these are celebrities, so it's kind of hard for you to do that because you're a regular person and they have like lawyers and legal teams and stuff like that. But if you're gonna fight for your daughter, you gotta fight for your daughter, child. I mean, the girl's in high school. I think she's in high school. You know, I think, like I said, that stuff happens. They're doing that. You know, there was a lot of things. When I was in high school, we had sellers on campus. Okay, we had people that sold on the campus, honey. You get what I'm saying? And it was bad. It was definitely not age appropriate. But what can you do? Anyway, let's move on, child. I do want to talk about EJ Johnson for a little bit because EJ, girl. Speaking to reality TV producer Carlos King on his podcast, Reality with the King, earlier this week, EJ admits to, despite identifying as gay, but says they're not attracted to gay men. Okay. The socialite is known for being a very femme presenting, which they credited as helping them attract straight men they prefer to date. During a chat with Carlos King, the 33-year-old said that, you know, they aren't keen on using him pronouns to describe himself and prefers just to be called EJ. So you non-binary. Okay, cool. So this is a little bit of what EJ said, Joe.
I don't attract gay men and I'm not attracted to gay men. Like, it's just not a thing.
Tell me more about that.
Honestly, it's like, that's why I don't go to gay clubs. I don't go to, you know, gay things because it's like the men that I attract are not there. It's like, these are not my men in terms of attraction. Now, if I'm just going to have a kiki, sure. But like, these are not the men that are interested in me in that capacity. I do that when I go to the straight rooms.
So, when it comes to men, has it always been what some people consider the straight guy always being the one that would approach you?
Or somebody who, yeah, or has been intimate and dating, you know, women for most of their life or like up until then, for sure. Now it's like even more so, now that I definitely present in more of a feminine way, because also like, it's like my energy is that. Like, even when I was a kid and like they were like, well, you can't wear skirts. And I was like, well, why not? You know, it's like my inner being was like, there's nothing wrong with this, especially if I look cuter than any girl does. Like, what's the problem? I'm out all the time, you know, and like I'm killing a dress and no one else is. Like, the girls in the room are not doing it. Like, they don't look cute. They're not dressed to any nines. So know.
I love it.
Okay, we can stop here. So yeah. They was dragging Little Miss Kittenwig for Diego. Okay, they was dragging Little Miss Kittenwig, Little Miss Toni Braxton. Okay. So I found it weird that, first of all, I found it weird that he only goes to straight clubs. Like, girl, what's going on in the straight club, child? Now, I think that a lot of people brought it to perspective. Like, he is, because of who he is, because of where he comes from and stuff like that, spaces that he populates probably is more of a safer space, even if it is like straight, if it's a straight club and stuff like that. So, because I always knew, child, when I go to the straight clubs, it was not fun. I mean, it's not that it wasn't fun. It's just that you can't do what you really want to do, because it's a bunch of dudes and they see that gay shit and they're gonna be like I have actual friends that went to clubs that were predominantly straight, you know, and they got jumped. So you get what I'm saying? They clocked them and they got jumped. A full group of people got jumped. You get what I'm saying? So I understand how dangerous a straight club can be. You get what I'm saying? But I think where it differs for EJ is probably in them high class, high sedity type clubs that ain't nobody really doing nothing, child. Anyway, don't nobody really care. You know what I'm saying? But nevertheless, he also says, he goes, I mean, the fact that you said, oh, I don't go to gay clubs, they don't really talk to me. I mean, I don't go to gay clubs just for the intentions of like finding somebody or taking somebody home or stuff like that. I go for a good time. You get what I'm saying? Don't y'all go to it. I feel like we going back to clubs. We are going back to the topic of clubs tonight. But I'm just like, I go to have a good time. I don't go always. I mean, if I find somebody, I find somebody, which I never really do, but I'm there to have a good time. Like when I'm in Philly and I go to Woody's, you get what I'm saying? Like, that's a good time. Okay. I'm with my good Judies and stuff or my fellas, child, that, you know, but like, I'm not going to find, like, if you have to go to the club to find a man, child, that's just not the place where you go, child. That's just not the place where you go. But people was really coming for him because it was just like, they're not straight. Like, and I think that we need to have this conversation. I know there was a person in the comments, Reese G, he's a very prominent internet famous person. He made a comment. He said, femme presenting men are less likely to attract gay men, especially if they are black, mainly because of how black culture has shaped black men, or gay or straight. As a femme presenting man, I completely understand what he's saying. In essence, EJ is expressing, because of who he is, other types of men that he attracts identify as something other than the gay, because gay men are attracted to masculinity and not femininity, but men that identify as straight like femininity. Okay. They're not straight, though. They're not straight. Like, they're fluid at best. Okay. They are fluid at best, and at the very least, they DL. At the very least, they're DL. There is no straight man that is going to go to an EJ. And I'm sorry if I get a lot of flack for this. I do apologize. But it has to be said, there is no straight man on this plane, in this reality, that is going to date an EJ and still be considered straight. I understand what people are saying, what some people are saying. You know, because these people may have dated women in the past, but they might be a little fluid, and that's okay. That is fine. You get what I'm saying? And that's just what it is. It does, at some point, it does come off a little delusional. You know, when people say that, even when we're talking about the trans community, child, because, you know, there was a couple of ones, you know, T.S. Madison, and I love T.S. Down. I will always love T.S. Down. And other people like that was there. You know, I don't, like, you're dating masculine gay men. Just call it that. I feel like we have to call it something else. Don't call it straight men. Like, because they have, look, let me tell you something about them heterosexual, child. They blew a gasket. They blew a gasket with this topic, okay? I don't have this take because I want to be cool with the straights and stuff like, fuck that, right? But I speak in a very, I talk about things that are objectively true. And what's objective is that you are dating men that are fluid, that are, what I say, metrosexual now. I don't even think that's the right word for it. They they bend a little bit. They go into, okay, this is definitely new territory. Maybe you are their queer awakening. You know? And that's okay. That is okay. I think that we need to get away from these conversations because it's going to cause more division. I mean, this definitely caused a lot of division in the community. Like, we had people like Bobby Lights that spoke out and said, girl, you want to be a white woman so bad. You know, there was a lot of people like Zell Swag that came from as well. There are men, and let's be, this whole notion that there are men, like feminine gay men, don't have it in the black queer community. Like, there are somebody for everybody. Let's be very clear. Now, the gay dating pool is small as it is, but there is somebody for everybody. There is a masculine gay man that will love an EJ down. You get what I'm saying? There is a masculine gay man that will love a femme queen down. You get what I'm saying? I see it all the time in real life, right? Because this entertainment space with EJ and stuff like that, this is all entertainment. But what I see in real life, I've seen feminine presenting men, gay men, will date a man that's perceived as masculine. You know, you just got to look hard enough. You get what I'm saying? And my whole thing is, if you're going to keep on going to these straight people, you know, the DL, like at this point, I'm just like, oh, so you're with a DL person. You know, you're with a person. Is he going to love you in the light and not just in the dark? Because we never seen no brother around your arm, EJ. Not saying that they not there. I'm just saying that they probably, you know, don't want to love you in the light, child. They want to love you down, love you in the dark. Anyway, y'all tell me what y'all think about that in the comments. I don't got nothing else to say about that, but I do want to talk about Jack Harlow because he's saying he got blacker. He got blacker, Jack. He got blacker. What the hell? Now, first of all, I'm gonna read this excerpt from the TMZ. They said that Jack Harlow says that he got blacker by pivoting from rap music to transitioning into rhythm and blues, child. The Lovin' On Me rapper was a guest of the New York Times podcast when the host asked about his new R&B album and whether he consistently made the decision to go deeper into blackness with a new genre. I know this interview didn't ask him that shit. Y'all interviewers be enabling the bullshit. Now, he agreed and said, yeah, he got blacker with his new music. And he went on to say that he loves black music and the sound of it. The hosts were comparing Jax to white artists who retreat from rap and go to traditional sounds. Jack says that he's hyper aware of the politics of today and understands that a lot of his white counterparts were found a safer landing spot by getting out of rap and going into different direction. But he says he's going against the grain, made what he already wanted to do even more appealing. Plus, Jack says he generally wants to get into R&B with his new music, Monica. Now, I did hear some of the songs on here. Well, Monica, like, I skimmed through it a little bit. I mean, it's definitely R&B. I mean, it's R&B. No different than when Justin Bieber did it, but Justin Bieber didn't make this whole thing up. Oh yeah, I've got blacker. Like, I got blacker with my music and sound. Like, what? What is that? What? And let's be clear, Jack Harlow, I feel like he means well. Intentions mean everything. Okay, I think his intentions with this quote is pure. But to say you got blacker because you making R&B music, what? Bro, what? Like, where is the PR team? Where is the PR? If you have it. What? We've seen white artists in history. And I'm forgetting his name, but he was a white artist and he did a lot of R&B songs and you would have thought he was black, child, back in the day, child. They actually didn't put him on the album cover because he was white and they wanted to attract the black audience. See, they always try to fish for the black dollar. And he's just like up front, like, yeah, I got blacker. You know, I love black music. And you can't just sit there and say you got blacker and then follow it up with, like, you know, I just love black music and black people and stuff like that. And I'm glad that he put that the interviewer took him to task on that. Well, you know, a lot of white artists that get into hip hop and stuff like that, they kind of leave and go to country like Post Malone. I'm telling you right now, Jack Harlow, if you end up like Post Malone, I'm going to go back to this video. I'm going to be like, you know what? Y'all want to sit there and see, I think that is bad because what Post Malone did was really just treacherous, because it was just like, you did hip hop and all that, and then now you going into country, and now it's like, well, you know, I was doing hip hop when I was on narcotics and depressed and all this other bad stuff, trying to associate these bad things with hip hop. Jack, you better not ever do that shit, because you know what? We gonna put you on the task. Okay. We definitely are gonna sit there. I'm gonna bring up this old video and be like, this is exactly what I thought was gonna happen. Cause y'all all do the same thing. Y'all do the same thing. Y'all wanna play around with the get down. Okay. And then when the going gets tough, when the political space is going far to the right, y'all wanna sit there and move, mosey on over back to where y'all came from. Where y'all thought y'all came from. I have nothing to say about Jack Harlow. I heard the album. It's definitely cookie cutter R&B. I'm not really an R&B fan. Unless it's like transformative R&B, like a little bit of Summer, like a little, like definitely SZA, definitely. That kind of expand the genre a little bit. It's like almost like neo soul a little bit. Now, I'm not really into the traditional R&B, which is what he was giving here. It was giving very much traditional R&B. You know, coffee shop, like lo-fi type R&B music, like shit that you have on you put that shit on YouTube to go study, you know, that's what it gave. Speaking of music, though, we can move on because I don't want to stay too long on this. Labyrinth. Y'all done pissed off Labyrinth. What the hell did y'all do over there in freaking HBO? Okay, now Labyrinth is sparking some concern, Shaw, among his fans after posting a blunt message online that appears to criticize both the music business and HBO series Euphoria. Now, in a social media post, the artist who composed the score for Euphoria did not hold back. He said, I'm done with the industry. F Columbia. Labyrinth also takes aims at the HBO series. He says, F Euphoria in the same message. And the post ended with a dramatic sign off. I'm out. Thank you and good night. Okay. The British musician, I did not know he was British, has been the central part of Euphoria's identity since the show debuted. Crafting his soundtrack and score, his work on the series even earned him an Emmy for Outstanding Original Music and Lyrics for All For Us. The comments have fueled speculation that Labyrinth could be stepping away from the entertainment industry entirely, through though he has not publicly clarified the message. The post comes as Euphoria prepares for its long anticipated third season, which is expected to premiere in 2026. I don't know what y'all did to him, but y'all need to fix it. Okay. Y'all need to freaking fix it, because y'all not gonna mess with freaking Labyrinth. Y'all not gonna act like he wasn't an integral part of Euphoria. Because let me tell you something about Euphoria. Euphoria is not about, it's not really about the acting. Acting is subpar, right? It's not about the storyline. Storyline is subpar. You get what I'm saying? But really what brings it all together is the imagery and also the sound, the music. You get what I'm saying? There's a lot of songs from that series that went number one in this household. Like he got that euphoric sound. Like, and then I also like the one with Zendaya. Hey Lord, you know I'm tired. That is my girl. And then the one with Billie Eilish. I think there was one that has Billie Eilish in it. I think Billie Eilish was in a couple songs. You get what I'm saying? Like, y'all not gonna sit there and play with my boy Labyrinth. Okay. Y'all not gonna sit there. So y'all whatever y'all need to do. If y'all need to cut a check, okay. If y'all need to, you know, have some accommodations, because let's be very clear, scoring and sound is very integral to a show. Okay. As much as a lot of people don't like to think about that, but that is true. So whatever y'all doing, y'all need to fix it. We will definitely follow this story further if there's any other updates. But like, girl, I'm like, what y'all done did, damn child? Did girl. It is not it. Now, there is a shakeup in TV. I do want to talk about that before we get into the other heavy hitting topics. Now, first, I want to talk about Tyler Perry, because the media mogul Tyler Perry has sold his ownership stake in BET Plus as Paramount Global and Skydance Media move to take full control over the streaming platform. The decision comes as companies restructure their streaming strategy, with BET Plus expected to be eventually fold into Paramount Plus. So it's basically going to be like all in one. The move will bring BET Plus content, including Tyler Perry's popular series and films, into a larger Paramount ecosystem. Although Tyler Perry has exited as owner, he is expected to continue producing content through the partnerships BET and Paramount. Now, a lot of people are saying this is because of a lot of his allegations. I mean, those two actors that came out and said that they were assaulted by Tyler Perry. I think this has a lot to do with that. Him owning BET while having these allegations, you know, it just does not look good. And they have to divest. And I think that's what's happening here. We're starting to see the Tyler Perry factory or Tyler Perry industry kind of like be at a standstill right now. Cause like, yeah, he was definitely trying to get BET and that's literally not happening. Honey, Paramount was like, yeah, let me get out of here. Let's go ahead. We don't give that to SA people. Allegedly. Okay. Tyler Perry has denied all claims of any wrongdoing with any of the actors that he's worked with. So let me just make that clear, child, because I don't want to get Tasha Cade. But yeah, I think this is also like BET Plus is not good. It's not there's no good content on there. I think that platform, BET in general, just needs to be under new management as far as content, because the content that is on that shit. Now, I didn't watch Queen's Men. A lot of people with my job be telling me to watch Queen's Men, child. I ain't talk about them. I'm pretty sure they're a pretty good show. But a lot of the Tyler Perry shows, I'm not like after the Have and the Have Nots. I mean, what I'm gonna watch? I'm gonna watch The Oval. Like, and then he's doing one about firefighters. And they all glistened up and all. I think I might want to watch that. But like, what are we doing on this damn? What are we doing on this damn platform? Y'all, Tyler Perry has played in this platform's face. And you know what? I love when he was on OWN and Oprah was putting his ass to task, because she said your shit was trash. Okay, she said your shit was trash and you got offended by it and you went to BET Plus or you went to BET because, you know, BET is just going to allow anything. They've allowed any type of content on that platform for years, and that's why they will not thrive. I miss platforms when they used to put platforms on, like TV1 used to have some good content. OWN used to have some good quality content that was low budget, but they told a good story. I don't know what happened. BET even used to have some. They used to have some decent shows. But now it's just like y'all are just putting shit together and seeing what sticks. And it's just, this is why you're getting bought out. Moreover, on television, though, I do also want to talk about the fact that they're shutting down a lot of these syndicated shows, child. A major shakeup is hitting daytime television as NBC Universal pulls the plug on several of its running syndicate shows. The company has confirmed that it will stop producing Access Hollywood, The Karamo Show, and The Steve Wilco Show. I'm like, oh my goodness, I love Steve Wilco. As part of a broader move away from the first run syndicate programming, the decision comes as NBC Universal shuts down production of its remaining first run syndicate shows, marketing a significant shift for the company's television strategy. Despite the cancellations, NBC Universal will continue to distribute library episodes of programs through its syndication arm. The move affects programming produced by NBC Universal Syndicate Studios and it ends the current production runs of these shows. Now, Access Hollywood, people are really upset about that because Access Hollywood has been around for like a long time. And that's where people get the celebrity tea, celebrity gossip. I mean, it was very watered down. Like, they're not really like talking about the things. You know what I'm saying? The Karamo Show was more of a people come on with their issues and Karamo tries to help him. And I know he went through that whole situation with the show that he was on with the white gays. I feel so bad for you, Karamo. You had to deal with that. And I remember he was on that show. He was on that show with Claudia and Tiffany Pollard. Like, he wanted to do a talk show for so long and he finally got a break and now they're canceling his show. You know, I think that's very unfortunate. I think he should start a podcast. I mean, I think the reason why they're getting rid of a lot of these shows, people are not watching these shows anymore. I mean, I used to be a diehard Steve Wilkos fan, but I work. You get what I'm saying? And it's like, it's not like you're on any streaming platform that I use. You get what I'm saying? So I can watch. And then y'all really not getting the credit. Y'all not getting the ratings for me watching your old, you know, your reruns and stuff like that. So it's just like y'all, people work. People go to work. You know, I stopped watching The View. I used to watch that View. I used to watch The View every day. Okay, I tried to sit there and find, be able, but I work. You get what I'm saying? I'm not to say that they're going to be, they're next on the chopper block, but they definitely, apparently they are canceling shows that even have good ratings. So I don't think it has anything to do with ratings anymore. I think it just, they're really doing this shift. And my whole thing is, what are they going to play? What are they going to do now? I feel like TV is really dying. Like, I think a lot of people that have these talk shows, they need to sit there, do what Joy Reid did, do what Don Lemon did. You garnered a platform. People know your names. Go on social media and do your own content. Okay. You will never be canceled. Honey, this show has never been canceled. We've been renewed for what? How many years has it been? It's been, we coming up on 9 years. I think 9 years it will be this year. You get what I'm saying? Like, I've never been canceled, Joe. But, you know, it's, you know, people had that dream of being on TV. It's something magical to be on television and all that stuff. But really, it's smoke and mirrors now. Like, television is becoming radio. I remember I wanted to be a radio host, but radio was dying at this point. Like, nobody's really listening to radio. They're canceling shows on radio as well. But TV, I never thought TV would be in this space, but it really is. People are not watching. People don't have time. They look at people like content creators that are online, that they're doing content from their home or content, you know, in their own, you know, studios and stuff like that. And it's kind of over for y'all. It's kind of over. Now, anyway, I want to move on because I don't want to talk too much about this, but I do want to talk about Jamal Bryant. You know, what's his name? That's a Giselle ex-husband. Gizzard from I was about to say Married to Medicine. I meant Potomac. Why do I always get these shows mixed up? Anyway, Pastor Jamal Bryant says that the national boycott against Target is officially over after the retailer agreed to several commitments aimed to rebuilding the trust in the Black community. Now, Bryant announced the decision during a Wednesday press conference and expanded on the progress in an Instagram video calling the campaign a historic victory. Bryant also said that Target has agreed to collaborate with historically Black colleges and universities. Another development includes that Bryant describes as reimagining DEI as the economic challenges continue to affect Black workers. This is what he said. I'm going to share the video.
They didn't think we could do it, but we did. History has just been made. The most effective and powerful boycott by Black people since the Montgomery bus boycott 70 years ago. We asked for four things, and I'm grateful to God if we've got three of them. They have invested $2 billion back into the Black community as they pledged after the death of George Floyd. On top of the $2 billion, an additional $100 million to immediate organizations that are meeting the needs within our community. Number two, we asked them to partner with HBCUs. They have found, and we have found collectively, one that will do our pilot program with 12 other HBCUs to follow. Number three, a reimagining of DEI. It's been a rough year for our community. 300,000 Black women have lost their jobs, and this is the highest unemployment for our people in years. The only thing that we didn't get accomplished, but we're still working towards, is an investment into Black banks. And I'm believing by grace, it's gonna get done. This new CEO has come handling business, and I'm glad to walk with you. The immediate target fast has come to an end. We claim victory. We're grateful. Go in or stay out.
Okay, so he made that video, and then later on, he went on live to, I guess, apologize because what are we talking about? Like, what? Nobody asked you to take the charge, but this is what he said in live chat.
I made assumptions that were not true, and I wanted to apologize to you for being a leader that was out of touch with what it is that the community wanted and sensed what it is that the community were demanding. It's much greater than those four, and I've heard you. overwhelmingly so. And not having a good read of the room, I take full responsibility of.
Nobody asked you. And that just pulls down. Nobody asked you. The part where he was like, we've asked for four different things and we're happy to get three. We didn't ask you to take on this role, just like we didn't ask Target to give us the DEI initiatives, to start the DEI initiatives, and then for them to later take it away because Trump was in office. Oh, girl, I shouldn't say his name, child. This is not a political episode. Child, don't flag this damn video. But nobody asked you. And nobody wanted you to take charge because we know Christian leaders in the Christian community, child, they are the worst activists, honey, because they only serve one. And that's fine. Serve who you serve. But when we're talking about activism, like we don't want you in charge. We don't want you taking the lead, you know, and I don't mean that in any type of it just is what it is. We're not letting our foot off of Target's necks. They literally gave us, they didn't give us nothing. First of all, they gave black businesses opportunity with the DEI initiatives. And then they took it back because of somebody that came into office. You reneged on something that you really didn't have to do if you really didn't want to do in the first place. It's off. We boycotting off of principle. Okay. It's off principle. I don't care about accommodations. I don't ever have to shop at Target again. I don't ever have to shop at Target again. You get what I'm saying? Because it's the principle. Okay. Y'all sat there and y'all played in our face. And now y'all want to give back to the community. Go ahead. Give to them communities. I'm still not going to shop there. And I hope a lot of people still don't shop there as well. Okay. Because, you know, companies will sit there and play in your face and they're spineless. They're spineless because they bend to whatever, you know, whatever the political space is, you know, whether it's on the right or on the left. If it's on the left, we do more DEI initiatives. It's on the right, oh, we can roll it back now. Y'all are private companies. And no one made y'all do anything. No one made y'all do anything. You get what I'm saying? You could have definitely, and then why... The more I talk about this, child, the more my brain hurts. Okay. I have nothing else to say about that. Now, Jack Wright, girl, she got a GoFundMe now, child. Now, I'm going to read this excerpt from the Jasmine Brand. It says that the singer and outspoken industry critic, Jack Wright, says that she is turning to the public for help as she navigates what she describes as a campaign to harass and take both an emotional and financial toll. In a recent Instagram post, Jaguar Wright revealed that she has launched a GoFundMe to help cover her costs of legal representation and private investigation. According to Wright, the fundraiser efforts comes after she became the target of online attacks following the public accusations about wrongdoing in the entertainment industry. She says, in quotes, after speaking out against wrongdoings in the entertainment industry, I became a target of intense online harassment. She alleges that several YouTube creators insert themselves into her personal life and coordinate actions that include swatting and doxing, which she says ultimately resulted in her arrest. In quotes, the emotional and financial toll of these attacks have been overwhelming. Right, nodding that she is now facing a complex legal battle to clear her name. Yeah. People will donate. She has a lot of fans. She has a lot of fanatics that follow what she says as Bible. And I've always said that Jack Brawl Wright, when she's right, she's right. But lately she's been wrong. Lately, she's been salacious. Lately, she's just been saying anything that comes out her damn mouth without any proof, without any evidence. Now, we was with you with the Diddy stuff, and we don't got to rehash this anymore, but we was with you with the Diddy stuff because a lot of the stuff that you said came to pass. You get what I'm saying? But you on this tirade with Jay-Z and stuff, and now, you know, you talk about people left and right. You called Bad Bunny demonic because of his performance at the Super Bowl. You said that the girl didn't really shoot up Rihanna's house.
You get what I'm saying? And you're trying to link it with, oh, maybe they're trying to kill Rihanna. Maybe Jay-Z is trying to off Rihanna. Why would somebody try to off an artist that makes them a lot of money? I mean, I guess because they make more money when they're dead or something like that. I don't fucking know. You get what I'm saying? You called Meg Thee Stallion trans and said that you got her baby pictures when she was a boy. And said that her baby pictures is AI generated. Like, you said a lot of shit, Jaguar. And you built up a lot of haters along with your fans that you created that, you know, is supporting you. But like now, y'all, all of y'all resort to GoFundMe. And that was never intended for none of y'all. I'm not saying that Jaguar is famous. Well, she has become famous. She became infamous because of her speaking out. But also people like Tasha K, that I would say that she is like definitely internet famous, and she definitely, you know, she definitely makes six figures. I think it's very unethical for somebody that makes that much money to do a GoFundMe. But then also with Jaguar, what are we actually paying for? Are we paying for your rent, or are we paying for the legal fees? Because it sounds like we're paying for your rent, y'all. You did not give us a clear answer or reason why you need this GoFundMe for legal fees. Legal fees for what? Who's suing you? Because I'm telling you right now, that would have been a headline if somebody in the industry suing you. You get what I'm saying? So I don't know. Y'all go ahead and pay. You know, y'all go ahead and donate. I'm not deterring people from donating to her. You know, y'all going to do it anyway. Like, I remember I seen people, not, I didn't look at Jaguar's GoFundMe, but I saw Tasha K's. This, when I tell you, Tasha K is the type of person, she can sell salt to a slug. She got people paying monthly. I didn't even know you could do that on GoFundMe now. They're paying $20, $10, $30 a month, and it's going right to her GoFundMe. I'm like, that is impressive. It, like or a hater, that is impressive. Okay, the fact that you can get people to sit there and spend their hard-earned cash. There's people that spend hundreds of dollars, that gave her hundreds of dollars. You get what I'm saying? And you know that money's going right to Cardi B. Cardi B like, thank you. Another one, thank you. Another one, thank you. Another one, thank you. Do y'all not find how y'all look crazy? Y'all not see how y'all look crazy? Y'all money are going to the people that y'all don't mess with. Because if it is going to the legal fees, it's going right to the person that won that case. As for Jaguar, child, I mean, I think she's going to be successful with this. She's going to get what she wants. She's going to get her rent money, and she'll be fine. You know, a lot of these people like to go to GoFundMes. You know, it's just the norm now. Everybody that has a name on them, because really it's now, it used to be for regular people that, you know, that don't have money, regular people like you and I. You know, that may not have insurance, or, you know, something happens, a house burned down, you get a chronic illness or something that you have to pay for that you can't afford. It was for regular people. And now people that are internet famous are going on GoFundMe and panhandling over there, you know? So it's very unfortunate that that company has gone, it's become oversaturated with a bunch of famous people that want money, free money. But what can I say? That's how the cookie crumbles, honey. Now, the last topic I wanted to get into, I do want to talk about Lil Nas X, because, you know, it's been a minute since we talked about him. You know, he definitely appeared in court recently. And I'm going to read this excerpt from the, I think, the Shade Room. They said the Lil Nas X is pushing for an alternative resolution in his felony, the police battery case, after appearing in a California courtroom this week. That the Old Town Road artist, Montero, appeared at the Van Nunes court on Thursday, which his attorney asked the judge for additional time to file a motion requesting that the case be transferred into an unspecified division program. According to reports, the judge is scheduled the next hearing as April 6th. Now, following the court's appearance, Lil Nas X briefly addressed the reporters and showed appreciation to his fans. We ain't gotta play that video. But the artist, as y'all know, was arrested after police responded to reports that he was walking around naked in Ventura Boulevard. Everything always happens in Ventura. Okay, the whole Britney Spears situation, the Lil Nas X situation, girl, everything's happening in Ventura Boulevard in Los Angeles, child. There's a lot of craziness going on over there. His attorney previously argued in court, assuming the allegations here are true. This is an absolute abrasion in the person's life. Nothing like this has ever happened to him. If convicted, he could face up to 5 years in prison. So they're kind of asking for it to be more of a probation than prison, maybe some community service, maybe at the very least, like maybe house arrest or something, like, you know, and that he seeks like therapy and stuff like that. I don't want to see him get 5 years. If they give him 5 years, come on now. Ain't that like less than Diddy? Well, no, I think Diddy got like five years too. Like, that's the, like 5 years for that. And this man has been freaking terrorizing people for many decades. You get what I'm saying? He gonna get the same time as Diddy? You know, and I think, you know, walking around in the nude, child, it definitely is lewd behavior, and that is illegal. You better be lucky you didn't get put in the registry, because that would really mess you up. But I don't see any reports of that. But I don't think he should get like 5 years. I think that is crazy. That is some crazy work if they ever do that shit. I don't think he deserves that. I think that he needs help. I think that something happened over there in Hollyweird in LA, and he just needs to get some help from this. I don't think throwing him away in jail is definitely going to work. I mean, I'm not saying his career will be over or anything like that, but you know, he'll come out and do some things. But like, I don't know, he's still young, and I feel like people have a little bit of empathy. I understand that he kind of rage baited y'all with the whole Christian shit. I'm not even asking y'all for y'all to open y'all minds. I mean, y'all should. I mean, y'all Lord and Savior, y'all be telling y'all to be kind to people. So I'm just saying that's what he told y'all to do. So y'all not practice what y'all preach. But I think that we need to have a little bit more empathy when it comes to Lil Nas X. And I like I said, I don't want to see him go to prison. That's crazy. But that is it for this show. Actually, we are done. Hey, we are on for a good old hour. It's been a minute since we've been on here for an hour, child. You know, I had a lot to say, had a lot to talk about. We are going to appear here more on a YouTube, and we're just going to just focus on this app and do more content with that. So just be up on that. I have to see how I'm going to fit this into my schedule and stuff like that. But you're going to see more from me on YouTube. And then also, in by extension, you're going to see more of me in the audio podcasting space, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all that. So be sure that you guys are leaving comments, because we got to beat this algorithm, child. This algorithm is always trying to fight me. They always want to try me. You get what I'm saying? And I just need y'all to just fight back and just be like, you know what? We're going to watch the show. We're going to watch the show. We're going to like it. We're going to give a comment. We're going to all that stuff. Okay. Also, to the audio listeners, leave a rate and review, because I heard that also increases my visibility on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all that. So yeah, I feel like I'm talking a little bit too much at the end of this damn show. Talk to you guys later. Bye.